Mark, what's your praise?
So, our first week of work.
Yeah.
That was good.
Yeah.
So, it's interesting that I can't seem to take a position and just stay there. They try to promote me to other areas because
already,
More experience than some of those guys, right? So, the position that I was looking for, that I applied for, that I thought pretty good about getting, I didn't get it, but they want me. They still want me to go through a training program for general manager for another whole facility.
Yeah.
So that's happening. I have an interview on the 1st for that. Then Shell called me this week.
Shell, but wow.
They want me to do some chemical tender work for them. So, I mean, it's just crazy how the blessings just come in multitudes, right?
Yeah, then you have to, they come in bunches.
Make the right decisions.
Comes in bunches. Yeah, that's cool. Who else? Praises.
My praises. It stopped raining while I was in the church.
There you go. There you go. Sierra, what's your praise this morning?
I went to Oklahoma yesterday to visit Jackson. Haven't seen him since he got kicked out of rehab in March.
Yeah.
He is, oh my goodness, he's clean and his skin is beautiful. He's healthy and just glowing and just, oh man, just everything.
Looks like you found the right place, huh?
Everything, he's clean. And
I've, amen.
Just can't praise enough for that.
Oh, man, that's, we know what an incredible blessing it is to see that. That's cool. Yes, young lady, man, what's your praise?
So, it's awesome, God.
What's y'all's praise?
He's on his way.
No, I'm talking about him. I'm talking about the other two of you.
Yeah, God, he likes to show off. That Bible study we were at the house, and we asked for prayer about the health insurance thing, because our insurance covered everything but pregnancy. God turns around and puts not only a midwife in our life, which is a healthy route versus a hospital.
Yeah.
God puts a Christian sharing ministry in our life where they're going to pay for the pregnancy and then we pay it forward to other families. And, that was like within, before we left your house.
What?
God did that.
Wow. They stood on the driveway until 9:25 talking.
Yeah.
Talking with.
Yeah, I thought I was missing another home team there for a while.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, cool.
That's an awesome gift to have that friendship.
And that was an amazing experience.
Now, as you go through hard times and you don't trust God, it's like you look back at all this stuff.
Hey, Bubba.
Yeah. Good morning.
Morning.
Hey, Kara. I like your paint Bible and cup. I need to make a remark.
Almost matches your shirt.
Yeah, pink Bible cup. Well, hey, it goes with your pink cup. So you didn't have to carry your purse too then, huh?
I drew a line. I wouldn't carry a Bible. Yeah. I didn't carry a Bible.
There you go. There you go. All right, who else has praise? Clarissa.
We had Calista's graduation, and I made it through it. I only cried a little bit.
Yeah,
that day.
A baby.
No, anyway. Yeah, before it even started, I was like, "Oh, this is bad." Like, they're playing the music and like all the videos and like, of course, it's like they just did that to me on purpose, I think. But yeah, I was like, I thought I was gonna be a wreck, but I pulled it together and everything went smoothly. You know, it was a meeting of a bunch of different personalities at the party, and it was good. There was no drama.
Well, the wedding, you will be a wreck then.
Oh, yeah. Well, obviously.
Yeah. Yeah. Anybody else? Joshua.
I'll praise the Lord for his continual blessing and his seasons that he puts us through.
Amen. Amen. Vicki?
Our granddaughter, Alexis, my youngest, she's here today. So.
Awesome.
First experience for her, and so we're just going to see how it goes. We're playing it by ears. First time she spent the night, and she spent the whole day with us.
And you survived.
Praise God that they go home.
Yeah. Today is 30 years. Lisa and I are celebrating 30 years today. So they gave us 6 months. Literally, the counselor gave us 6 months.
Seems like 5 minutes.
Wow.
Yeah. Holding your breath underwater. Right?
Yeah, something like that. But now we.
By 29 years and 6 months, I mean, come on, they were close.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we're not planning on quitting, so, you know. We're looking for a 4-0 next time. We'll see. We'll see where it goes. Yeah. I have a medical praise. The heart cath did not work. They found a third blockage. And so, had I stayed with the doctor that I started with, I would probably be heading toward my first major heart attack. But he found one of them and said he couldn't fix it and quit eating eggs, and I'll see you later. That was it. But this other doctor said, man, you can have all the eggs you want. So, okay. Anyway. So, that may be like, Mark Lowry is from our home church. The church that this church is from is where Mark Lowry was raised, in that church. And they used to be Berean Baptist Church back up in the Heights. And they had another pastor one time that was preaching Calvinism, was preaching, you know, a little bit of that, not so bad, but he was preaching post-millennialism. He wasn't preaching the premillennial return of Christ. And so he said, one of his set jokes, he was talking about his dad. He said his dad decided we were going to go to church across the street and down the block because he didn't want to go through the tribulation period. So anyway, he made it funny. I'm not good with jokes. Lester told me that don't be telling jokes with my thing here. And I said, well, I'm not good at them anyway. So anyway, the thing is that the doctor that I have that was referred to me by another doctor friend of mine that I know real well, he found the 100% blockage right away. And now he's found the third one. And so I got 270% and 100% blockage. And the reason that the 100% one's still working is because God made a bypass, you know, in a little plan B he's got built into our hearts that we didn't know about. And so I've got a really good shot at getting my health back. I really do. My heart I haven't had a heart attack, so I have no damage. So it's looking pretty good. It's a little plumbing work and a little hatchet work. And so that should work out fine. So I'm praising the Lord that he's in charge. Amen. And he's got it. So, Gilbert, what's your praise?
I praise the Lord for being here for once.
Yeah, good to see you back, man.
Yeah, the thing is also the blessings that he has given all of us. Sometimes we neglect to see them or are blind to see them until after we realize that he's done it. And it's amazing that he works.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. Anybody else? Yeah, Joshua.
I want to praise the Lord for his trials and tribulations, his trials and obstacles he gives us. Because they always, even though they're hard, they're a little difficult to go through, they do so much good.
Yeah.
I want to thank you for those.
Amen. Amen. It wasn't a week ago or more than that I was sitting here telling you that every really great advancement that we make in life, every really great stride that we get, draw closer to the Lord, or we really learn and grow, they all come through trials. They do not come through mountaintop catching big fish and swimming in warm, clear water. And, you know, it doesn't come through that. It comes through the valley. And so we face another one.
And we always come out better on the other side.
We always do. Romans 8:28 will never go away, not for us. So we just will watch and see what God's going to do next. Mark?
Yeah, and I think to just add on to what you're saying is that we have to go through some hard times sometimes for us to let go of our way and take the Lord's way.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, we expect that, you know, because we're sinners, and we know we are, and we know what we deserve. And there's not a one of us in here would dare ask God for what we deserve. We're definitely too smart for that. So we have a tendency to expect that when something comes along that's heartbreaking or that it's dangerous or that it causes concern and or it makes you anxious or fearful or whatever, we have a tendency to think, well, God, is God punishing me? Well, you need to understand something. If you're His child, you need to understand that God does not ever punish His children. He disciplines His children. There's a difference. There's a huge difference. Discipline is teaching. Discipline is showing you things that you couldn't learn some other way. And we have to go through hard stuff. We do. I know Francis is going through some really hard stuff this morning. And we'll talk about that a little bit if it's okay with you, because there's a couple of things I really want you to know. We belong to the Lord. If we're saved, we belong to Him. And if we're not, we don't. We still got the devil as our master, and he is not a good guy. But Jesus is, and He's good all the time. And He takes us through what we need to go through. I've gone through some pretty good stack of trials over the last 72 years. And some of it's been pretty rough. But I couldn't honestly tell you I would change any of it. Because the Lord has taught me so much in the valley, I couldn't even begin to share it all with you, even if I tried. You learn things you can't learn anywhere else. You learn what matters and what doesn't. And it makes you a better person. It makes you more able. Makes you capable. It makes you wiser. We always got more to go. But it definitely increases the wisdom. Other praises. Jerry.
Pretty tough week all week, and then the Lord pulled it out on Friday. He does that a lot.
Yeah. Amen. Yeah. He'll do that for you. Anybody else? Gilbert, one more?
I'll make a comment in regards to something that trials can go through. Sometimes if we even have an idea that we want something and we strive for it, instead it goes way worse and goes out of the picture completely, out of reach. And that's because God has it in plan that it's not a time yet. So we have to be drilled through some time that eventually when it comes to it, and without any further expectation of looking for it, He'll grant it to us and accomplish things that we never thought that we would be feasible or possible. And I've learned the success definition in this way, that success to me has become not being able to accomplish what you have for goals, but to meet above and beyond the goals you have set to gain.
Well, that's what Jesus said. I mean, through the Holy Spirit, of course, using Apostle Paul, but He said, God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you ask or think. And we think about that as like, well, I'm not going to be broke the rest of my life. You know, God's going to give me a job, or God's going to do this or that. That's the least of all the things that God's talking about when He's talking about that.
We have a promise He'll never leave us nor forsake
us. Yeah, and those are important, but He's got things in your life that He is going to do exceeding abundantly above all of that that you just haven't even thought of yet. And He's going to do it. He is doing it. And somebody said that recently that God just seems to love showing off. He does. He's not recommending that for us, you understand. But He does love to show off. He loves to. The Bible says, if I can get it right, last time I heard it quoted, it was in some other version. But it says, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show Himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is perfect toward Him.
Amen.
And God he's just looking for an opportunity to show off in your life. That's what He's doing. Amanda?
I have another praise. I don't think He'll mind me sharing it. It's pretty big.
It's okay with me, so go ahead.
For the past 8 months, we've been praying for God to soften his ex-wife's heart. And the whole story behind that, this is huge, but she is finally going to, she's allowing our daughters to meet. He is a 9-year-old, and I have Denna, and she is letting up the reins, and they get to meet June 4th. And that's huge for the situation, and we pray every night God soften her heart, and apparently He is. And, yeah, God does show off.
Amen. He can do it. He can. We're going to get into our lesson here in a little bit. But I wanted to talk for just a minute, and I just want to basically I'm going to talk to Francis and let you all listen. How's that? I know that young lady that you know, I don't know how close you were with her. Sounds like quite pretty close.
She was like a daughter for many years.
20 years old, and got feeling bad and died the next morning.
She died within hours.
Within hours, yeah.
Mom, waking her mom up. She yeah. still lived at home. She was a nursing student. And within a few hours, she was gone. Then they don't know
who. There's a right and a wrong way to look at those things. Most often we tend to go immediately to not necessarily the right way of looking at those particular things. Lisa, look up that scripture in Isaiah. You remember where it is.
It's 57:1.
It's 57:1?
Yeah.
Well, look it up, and I'll have you read it here in a minute. But one of the families we were praying for last week, it's a friend of Daryl's. They had a new grandbaby born, developed a brain bleed, and passed away in 2 days. Brand new baby. Just long enough to bond and to, I mean, who cannot fall in love with a brand new baby? I mean, and then the child died. You know, I know where your mind goes. You know, and we got people all over our country killing babies that are within a month of that child or less, and it's just unthinkable. Yet for those people, it's a heartbreak that is never going to heal completely. I mean, it doesn't. You get past it, but the scars are never going to go away. And sometimes scars need to be there. Scars, they have a purpose. But what I want you to understand is that did God take that child early? No, he didn't. He took that child exactly when that child is supposed to go. Now, that child is with the Lord. I can prove that in God's word. There's no question about that. The other question arises when a young person, Katie, died suddenly at age 20. Did God take Katie early? He did not. It is appointed unto man once to die. You know, and I know you're praying for me to come through this heart surgery and not die and be there, you know, good health and all those things. But what you need to understand is that I'm going to be here no matter what until God's time. Amen. And then when that time comes, and it's coming for all of us, I won't be here 1 second later than that. There is an appointed time. God's word declares it. It is what it is. God did not take 70 or 80 years from Katie. God gave 20 years to Katie. And you have been given what you've been given. And whether it's another year or another 50 years, it's what God has given you. It's his gift to you. And when that time's up, it's going to be up. And that's for all of us. That's not just for Katie. That's for everybody. And sometimes it's what we consider early or young. Sometimes it's not. It's not how much time you have. It's what you spend it on. And, you know, when we see something like Katie passing away like this suddenly, it should give us a sense of urgency. You know, well, they got lots of time, you know. No use rushing them. No use, you know, I'll talk to them about the Lord later. You don't know if you want to have it later. The Bible says that our life is like a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. And, you know, sometimes God has to put you through some things to give you the kind of urgency that every child of God ought to have already. Sherry?
Just from experience,
that's where Romans 8:28 comes in, because going through it for myself, it saved my son's life. It totally changed him.
Yeah, I remember. I may share that here, man. I want you to read that passage of Scripture.
The righteous perisheth, and no man layeth it to heart, considers it. And merciful men are taken away, none considering that the righteous is taken away from the evil to come.
You know, sometimes we know people who are God's children, and they're taken. And Larry Jones, my pastor friend, he and I were at odds for several years, and all of a sudden the Lord fixed that, and he became one of my closest friends. And then he developed cancer, and nothing could, no matter what could do, and I just couldn't believe God was going to take him. But he did. And it wasn't any way around it. And you say, well, God, why would you take a man that was doing that kind of work and loved you so much? And well, he took him because he ran out of time. His time was up. It was his appointment. And, you know, I really expect to recover and be fine and be your pastor for another 100 years. But, yeah. Maybe not quite that. But God doesn't owe me anything. He doesn't. But pastor, you've done this and you've done that. And listen. All I've done is less than my duty. That's it. Nothing more. Yeah.
I lost someone that I was very close to.
Yeah, I remember.
And I'm pretty sure that he didn't know the Lord. And it was an unbearable pain for me. This is in my 20s. But God gave me a verse that says, I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you.
Yeah.
And if you lean on him, he will comfort you. And like you were saying about the urgency, about telling other people about the Lord, that comes, but he will comfort you.
Yeah.
In that time.
Yeah. And yeah, he will. And
urgency, because that's what I felt. You know, a lot of, I don't.
When you don't know, you can't see the heart. We've got tremendous evidence and all reason in the world to know that a lot of folks that are going on are in heaven. Absolutely, because their life says so. Their testimony says so. They got it in writing from God that they're saved. And when you have that, you have it. And nobody can take that, but sometimes you don't know. That's when the pain really gets intense.
Yeah, because I should have shared that with her. But now it's urgent that I share it with all my children.
Yeah. Yeah.
And every teenager or young adult that I can touch.
And you're not going to cause them to immediately trust the Lord.
But
it doesn't work
that
like that. Yeah. Let me just tell you, I'm not trying to give you some kind of false hope, but you're going to find a lot of people in heaven that you didn't think was going to be there.
Yeah.
Because their life didn't look like it.
Yeah.
But there's nobody in heaven because their life looked like it. Nobody.
Right.
Nobody goes to heaven because of anything they did or didn't do. We go for one reason and one reason only, and that is the righteousness of God that is given to us as a free gift. We're willing to turn it over to Jesus and let him handle it. Yeah, you would think, well, if I'm willing to do that, then I ought to be willing to let him handle the rest of life too. And that's the way it's supposed to work. But sometimes the flesh is just more than we can handle. And
I think Madison will be comforted with it, though, because I know she bought Katie here 3 or 4 times, and she also took her to, the small group that she attended at Creed Community Church. She was always trying to get Katie to go to church, but I don't think it was.
Well,
you can certainly have made a decision between the time she woke up and the time that she was.
There are things that we can't know. We can hope in the English version of hope. Bible version of hope is a confident expectation. Maybe we don't have that. But we know how good God is, and we know how much He loves us. And we know how merciful He is. And we know how He's able to speak to the heart. All that said, we don't have any business just letting life float on by us without speaking up. I can't talk anybody into being saved. But I know I can praise the Lord for every good thing in my life. And then when they can't stand it anymore and they just have to ask, and I can just share it.
Amen.
It doesn't take much. It really doesn't. I wasn't doing a whole lot of preaching when I was in the hospital Friday. It just seems like it was like a week ago, but it wasn't. There's an Egyptian nurse that was taking care of me there. And she had brought her two daughters over from Egypt, and she's a crazy worker that she's able to take care of her family and doing the kind of nursing skills she's doing. She found out I was a pastor while I was in under the thing when I got back. Just to show you what God is up to. You see, he's working in everybody's life. She said, I just found out you were a pastor. Teach me something. So I did. And I think we have an ongoing dialogue. I'm not going to change anybody's life in 20, 30 minutes laying on a hospital table, but Jesus can.
Just shows you you're never going to get to retire. Even in the hospital bed, you're still working.
He's not planning to retire.
When I was...
Even in the hospital bed, though.
But Francis, you know that Katie did hear it from a lot of different people.
Yeah.
And she had some time. So believe the best.
I'll tell you a little secret. You know, people think, and you know, like when people have to go to a funeral, they're real susceptible to listening about the things of the Lord. Mm-hmm. They think that that's how it works. But how it really works is when it's you that's on your back and you're praising the Lord.
Yeah.
That's how it works. That's what people see. Yeah. And I led a couple of people to the Lord when I had cancer in 1981. Or three, whatever that was. I can't ever remember. Was it three? My doctor being one. And, you know, he and I had a great relationship ever since. It was good. But we'll see what God does with all that. But the point is, your job is a simple job. You out loud, verbally, openly, genuinely give praise to the Lord for every good thing in your life, especially what Jesus has done to transform you from lost to saved. Speak up. And you don't have to be as verbal as Mary. Not everybody can be Mary, okay? In fact, I don't know of anybody that can be Mary now that I think about it. But it'd be great if you did, but it doesn't matter. You use the personality God gave you. And you just be real and genuine and praise the Lord. And then be ready when they ask you. And you say, well, I don't know how to do that yet. Well, you know who does. Bring them. We'll do it together. We know how to do this. This is what we do here. And God always does His job. Always. Well, anyway, is there a last praise that I missed? Because we got about 10 minutes to spend on the class on the verse.
I want to share something quick because you don't have much time.
All right.
Listen to this now. When all of his work at the prison, there was this officer. He was not a Christian, but they know me. Because I talk about Jesus all the time. So I have this book about Revelation of Hell. So I read it and said, this is a nice book to give a non-Christian. So I gave this lady, I don't know her, and a new sir. I said, hey, I want to lend you a book to read. They read, you know, realize you're not a Christian. I said, will you read this book? So she took the book, went away, and the next day she brought it back to me. I said, I'm sorry, I can't read the book. Man, this is what I did. And I show what I did. I said, look here, read the book. Just like that, you know. And she took it. She went to two offices and said, who does she think she is telling me to read the book? She said, listen to me. Miss Dibbert, she's a Christian, read the book. She read the book. Guess what?
She's been saved now for how many years? Mm-hmm. She called me last week, and she always think about what I said to her. It's like God made me like that, you know, so I can't help myself.
Hey, I've been in that same spot.
Hey, and ever since you came, Mom, you have not kept quiet about it. So you're doing just what you're supposed to be doing.
And you are. And you are. And that's, it doesn't get better than that. Hopefully you won't be as obnoxious as I was, but I was a little over the top. I have to admit, the Lord had to temper me back quite a bit to get it where it's supposed to be. But let me tell you something. If you're going to be around me, you're going to hear about Jesus, and I'll make you get saved if I can. So I have folks scattered from me like I was had the plague or something. So I've never gotten over getting saved. I'll put it that way. This verse that we're on today talks about, this is chapter 28, verse 11. We'll spend a little bit of time on it. It says, the rich man is wise in his own conceit, but the poor that hath understanding searcheth him out. Wisdom does not come only to rich people. Sometimes some of the things we read in Proverbs teaches us and shows us that if you want to quit being poor, wisdom is going to be the quickest way to get there. But it doesn't mean that you're going to be rich. Understanding is priceless. Understanding. Francis' testimony, in that last text message you sent me, you said, I helped you to understand. And that's it. Young fella I led to the Lord the same week you got saved. He's the one that asked me, Pastor, have you ever showed this to someone and they not get saved? They not trust Jesus? I said, well, it's happened, but, you know, less than 1 out of 100. I mean, it's very, very few. What stands in the way almost 100% of the time is not understanding. When I went forward in the Billy Graham Crusade at age 16, I know you think that's too far back that anybody could possibly remember that long, but I do. The problem, I went there. I wanted to get saved. I did. And I know that God was controlling it, and I know why after all these years. And that is what it is, but I went away from their loss because I didn't understand. I did not understand what salvation was, how it worked. I just didn't get it. I thought that from all the preaching that I'd heard, and Jerry, you heard, I think about you when I hear that, you heard all kinds of preaching long before you ever came here. And it wasn't all wrong. It was just confusing enough that it just left you with not knowing what to do. You didn't understand. I could have understood it. I could have. But that's the problem. If you want to know what the problem is understanding. Because I guarantee you, if you're lost, you don't know what Jesus did for you. Because if you understood it, well, I'll just put it this way. Within a minute to a minute and a half after I understood it, I was on my way to heaven because Jesus had now saved me. It took me that long to trust him. Once I got it, once I saw it for myself, and I know what he said. Mark?
I know a lot of people who are wise in their own conceit, right?
Yeah.
They feel like they've got there on their own, right?
Yeah. I have acquaintances. I won't call them friends because I consider a friend a little further up, you know. But I have some good acquaintances, friends that most people would refer to, that they're just too smart for their own good. They're unteachable. They're so smart, they're unteachable. Can't get through the barrier. It's God that has to fix that.
Yeah, that's right.
Francis, you're a really good example right now for all the stuff we're talking about. God had to get you ready to listen. And he did. And I couldn't. She couldn't. Nobody could. The Lord did it. And now you know where your dad is. He did it. And when we went through basic Bible truths, I don't think there was a single sentence that you had to ask a question about. You understood every single thing we looked through, every principle, every passage. clearly immediately. And I don't think you'd mind me sharing this one. You know, there's a place in the lessons where after you see it all, after you see how it works, and it comes down to it, the question is, are you saved? Based on what you know from the scripture now, what's your answer? And I will guarantee you, her answer would have been, yes, I am, but not after she understood. She said, no. And within a minute, it was done. God fixed it. There is an understanding that comes. But the poor that hath understanding. Let me tell you something. A poor man that hath understanding is not a poor man. He may not have a bunch of money in the bank. He's got a priceless commodity that rich man that's wise in his own conceit just does not have and ever will have. Unless the Lord takes him down a notch and lets him understand. That's a tremendous passage right there.
Wait, hold on, I need that prayer
request back.
You put at least on it, not just... I did. Okay, good.
Yeah. Well, anyway.
You probably won't be bouncing.
But. Yeah. Maybe not very high. We'll see how it goes. I know. Keith there, man, he's... I don't even want to think about what you had to go through in trying to heal up from... Matter of fact, thinking about what you went through makes me look at this like it's no big deal, frankly.
Perspective is everything.
But, yeah, perspective changes a lot of things.
Yeah.
It really does. It really does.